Sí. Oh, I'm not connected. I'm making hope on there. Cat, what's the password?
It's
Let's catch that one
from
here.
this one. It's come here for Wi-Fi.
How many capital letters are
PM. First item is executive committee member introduction. Dave, you want to handle that?
The introductions?
Yes.
Well, I think on the
Let's go
screen,
around.
yeah, we just go around on the screen. I see we have Hope Colburn and Mike Strait, and I think it's all everybody online. So those in the room want to introduce yourselves.
Fred Saar.
Mark Whitworth, Newark.
Cynthia Stewart, Concord.
Paul Burma, something. Mike the Calf Greensboro.
Oh, I'm Liam Abate. I'm a planner at NVDA.
Kathleen Driscoll, Regional Planner.
Jennifer Birchall, Office Manager.
Okay. And Dave Snedeker, of course.
Didn't get that.
Thank you. First order of business is to approve the May 22nd, 25 minutes. I assume everybody's had a chance to look at them and read through them. Are there any comments?
Motion to approve.
Who was that?
Oh.
Did you? Is there a second?
Yes, I'll
Mike,
second it.
second. Any further discussion? All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Sending. Thank you. Approve the unaudited June, July, and August financial reports. Again, they've been posted and had a chance to look at them. Any comments?
Like we're pretty much ahead on revenues, so
That's always good.
The transition going with Judy working still as a consultant and getting everybody comfortable with it.
She was in quite a bit more than we expected. Our auditor was here, so she was helping gather that information. But I think she's going back to a more realistic one day or 2 days every other week or something to help
It's
out.
pretty complex to try to teach and train somebody.
Yeah, it's there's a lot to learn. I mean, Judy was here 33 years. She does a lot on autopilot. She's wonderful. So we're just trying to soak up as much as we can. I mean, we did before her retirement. It's still ongoing. It just takes some time to soak up everything she knows. So
What's the schedule on the audit report?
We'll have something by the end of November, I believe, so we
Actually,
said.
think you, I think they said early November
Early
this year.
November.
Yeah, it
Okay.
should be earlier than last year. They had some kind of delay last year.
So, is there a motion to approve the unaudited June, July, and August financial reports?
I'll move that. And subject to audit
Second.
report.
Second.
I'll second.
Any other discussion? All in favor?
Okay.
Opposed? Thank you. Increasing the credit card charge limits. Turns out staff has a limited number of cards with very low balances. So, is there a recommendation on what we want to do?
Well, first of all, we had three. There was Judy had one, Tina had one, and I have one. And the limits were relatively low. We canceled Judy's card because she's no longer with us. And then, did we have a number in mind? Do you remember?
I had not discussed it with Tina. I think the limit right now is 3,000 for each card.
So we thought maybe 5,000 per card.
That's not reasonable.
Yeah.
What do you tend to use the cards for?
To conference registrations, like Kyle recently went to Chicago for the Brownfields conference, so that sort of thing. Sometimes we use it for software purchases
Got it.
or upgrades.
We also have some medical expenses that get run through it. We have like a Medicare payment, and it's almost $1,000 each time. It's for one of our staff, so so we do have that as a recurring, and that kind of loads up the card as well.
And you might be able to do that ACH and get it so it's not using the card, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, it's our procedures currently aren't set up for ACH. That would be something we would have to change. It's not in our policies. So because we run everything as a check, sometimes there are certain things like we don't want to be late on a Medicare payment, for example. So it's run through the credit card. But then it loads up the credit card for when we need it for important purchases as well.
Did you feel like you got a good enough audit trail on that?
For the credit cards, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Every when we pay the credit card statements, we make sure there's a receipt for every transaction. So you could pull any credit card statement. There's a receipt attached for everything.
You don't do any ACH though at all. Once you all get settled, it just might find you may really want to think about that. You write a check, you put it in the envelope, it goes to somebody, they cash it. You have to then balance your checkbook. I mean, if you could just do ACH, it would send the money. It really, you may find that there's some efficiencies in.
It's very close to the top of Tina's list.
Yeah.
Oh,
She's not
okay.
here to speak for
Is it
herself,
really?
so yeah,
Yeah.
it's
Yeah,
definitely
there's
desired.
some nice things that could help a lot. Sorry.
No, the recurring payments.
Yeah.
I write two checks a quarter, probably. It's easy. Okay, so the proposal is to maintain the three credit cards.
Two credit cards. Maybe put one limit up to 7,500 and one to 5,000.
Okay. You and Tina? Is there a motion to do that?
I make a motion to approve.
I'll second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. I think that'll make life a little easier for the staff. Appointments to the Finance Committee, David.
I believe the current members for the committee are Hope, you, Fred, Cynthia, I think you're on the committee as well. And I can't remember if we had one more or not.
I believe we did, but
Tom retired.
Tom,
Yeah.
yeah, and he retired.
Is there anyone else interested in being on the Finance Committee?
If you promised to train me, I'd already read the damn honest, I think.
I think I was on it at one point.
You were.
But
We don't technically meet though, right? It's just reading, reviewing the
yeah.
financials.
Yeah. Since we don't meet and there are no deadlines, this is an award.
I was thinking about that. So is there a motion? Do you just need a motion to renominate the same people
Yeah,
or
that's fine.
motion to renominate Hope, Fred, and Cynthia's Finance Committee? Mike?
Yes.
Second. Thank you, sir.
You still okay with that, Hope?
I'm fine. Yeah. I
Okay.
should know this, but is that separate from the loan approval committee?
I think they're very, it's almost the same people.
That's what I thought. So
But
do we?
they are separate committees.
They are separate committees? Okay.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, who seconded this one?
Cynthia.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you very much. Salary on that committee is great, by the way.
The sandwich.
A lot of opportunities for craft.
You get pizza if you come down here once a month. Annual meeting
Does
update.
that.
Annual meeting update.
Do you want to
Sure.
do that?
So as of this morning, we had 82 tickets sold. So we're getting close. The Highland Center of the Arts can accommodate 90. So we're a little nervous that we might actually go over space this year, but we're just really happy that we're almost there. And I know we're still waiting to hear whether or not the governor will be
Yeah,
coming.
Governor Scott has been invited, and we should know by the end of the week if he'll be coming. He usually doesn't schedule until 2 weeks before the event. And then Sarah Waring is also going to, she's the executive director of the Northern Border Regional Commission, is going to be there as well and to speak to her experience with NBDA over the years in many, many capacities.
So on the annual meeting registrants, how are we doing with board members and getting a quorum?
I want to say about half the registrants are board members. That's pretty close to half.
Okay, good.
Can I just make a comment on the registration processes? And it's probably out of your control, but I was registering some of my colleagues today who wanted to come, and it only lets you put their name in, not like their contact information. if you do it as a group. And it just seems like it would be better if we could get their, email address and everything else at the same time, so we could forward stuff to them in the future. Just a thought.
Is it because of the tool we used, maybe?
It might just be a limitation in constant contact, and I'm not as familiar as Lorna and Tina when it comes to constant contact. So I can bring it up to them and see if any changes could be made in the future. But as far as I can't answer whether or not we could do that just off the top of
Sure.
my head.
Yeah. It's not a big deal. It worked. I just wanted to throw that out there.
Was there a cost? You said we sold the tickets. For some reason I'm feeling like I didn't pay if there was.
Board members don't pay.
Yeah, okay.
They
So
get pre-registration.
yeah,
It's
so it's just
$40 for others who want to attend.
minimum members. Yeah.
And then the last piece about the annual meeting update is the report was finalized this morning, I believe, and it should be going out to the printer, so it'll be ready in time.
Nice.
Yeah.
It looked wonderful. Yeah, whoever did all that work, it was great.
Yeah, it's ordered and should arrive before the meeting, so.
Good. Progress check, FLU mapping and regional plan.
Okay. So I'll let Liam and Kathleen present this, but this was a request from one of our earlier executive committee meetings. Someone wanted to give a check-in on how we were doing because we have such a large region. We have to meet with each town individually and do the mapping exercise with them and get their comments. So I just offered to bring Liam and Kat to talk what they've done tonight.
Should I get the map?
Yeah.
They have a big map to show. And I think Jen has a digital copy for the people online.
Yeah, that
Yeah, you sent it out, right?
yeah. Okay. I'm not sure what I'm looking at.
Yeah, I know what I was looking at, but I had a hard time reading the legend.
Notice a little bit of something. So this is the
Yeah.
future land use map of Caledonia County. It's a draft. There are still some towns like St. Johnsbury that we have in Sutton that we have not received comments from. But where did that go?
Just for your information, Sutton was meeting tonight.
Oh, I was on the phone with one of them this morning. I'm aware of this. So to give you a brief rundown of the classifications, I have it here on one of the handouts. I don't know if everyone got one.
No, they do. Should be here, I guess.
Yeah, there's more under the map.
But the two of the dark colors, the dark purple and dark pink, are downtown and village centers, respectively. And these are dense, multi-use areas that historically have been commercial and civic centers for their towns. And some of the larger towns surrounding these centers, which is what the village centers and downtown centers collectively are called, are planned growth areas in the dark pink. These are dense, largely residential areas with sidewalks, water, wastewater, and zoning that allows for dense housing.
Already existing.
It can be either existing infrastructure or planned. In our region, it's mostly existing. And then the light pink color are called village areas. So these are medium to high density residential neighborhoods adjacent to the centers of development. In orange, we have transition infill areas, and these areas have water or wastewater, but are currently low density, or they have water and wastewater, but they're outside of a center of development. In light purple, we have enterprise areas. These are large industrial areas, industrial parks, and areas with large amounts of resource extraction. In light green, we have resource-based recreation area. So these are areas surrounding mountains, lakes, and forests that people flock to for recreation. And then next up, we have a category that NVDA staff has created as sort of a custom food category, which the statute allows for. And the only one in Caledonia County is in Linden, and that is called groundwater contamination. And it is for areas that have water and soil so contaminated that extremely significant remediation would be required before redevelopment. So in Linden, that is the former Parker landfill, which is a super fun site. Hamlets are these dots around the region. And those are small historic clusters of homes without public water or wastewater. A lot of the smaller villages meet that definition. Rural general is the yellow color. That's largely synonymous with rural residential, but is also compatible with low density commercial uses. The teal color that covers most of the region is rural agriculture and forestry. So this covers the working lands of the region. And then the dark green is rural conservation, and that covers sensitive areas such as wetlands, mountains, undeveloped floodplains and river corridors, and highest priority connectivity blocks, which are habitat blocks. In red, we have the town boundaries, and then in black are roadways, and bright blue is water. So this is what we've been working on all year, me and Kat. And next on your handout, we have here, we have a summary of each of the categories and how many towns and how many areas they are. Kat, did you want to do this?
Sure, I don't. Thank you. So for downtown centers, there are three in St. J, Newport City, and Hardwick, 66 village centers. The only towns that don't have village centers are Kirby, Maidstone, Victory, Leamington, and UTG. There are 24 planned growth areas. Oh, sorry. Yeah, including in St. J, Newport City, Hardwick, Linden, and Derby. 42 village areas. Yeah, I'll just let you guys read the examples. There are a lot of repeats. There are 109 areas that are transition areas. So I sort of misspoke earlier. These are the number of areas because there could be multiple per town. So transition areas, there are usually groupings on sides of village centers, and some of them are off on their own. 27 towns have enterprise areas. 18 towns have resource-based rec areas.
Can you what's an enterprise area?
So that's where there is resource extraction, industrial areas. They're the purple on the, yeah.
Can you show us one?
So right here is the St. Johnsbury Linden Industrial Park. Here's the Caledonia County Airport. Here's Pike Industries Gravel Pit in Waterford. Here is the large gravel pit in Danville. This is the Blue Mountain Mine in Reigate. So
There's up there in Sutton, that must be the pumping station.
In Sutton, I think this is a gravel pit and log yard, and then this one is something connected with the pipeline. Is that what you mean by pumping station? Okay, yes, this is the pumping station is right here.
Yeah. So this is Caledonia County.
Yes.
Have you completed the maps for the other two counties?
Essex County is not complete, so on the back of
So
this
these
handout.
number of areas and number of towns may be incomplete.
Well, we've mapped all of the non-rural polygons, except for the rural general, rural conservation, rural ag and forestry. So those numbers could change if, for instance, a town revokes some of the regulations and they become ineligible for something, then
Well,
they would get
my real
removed.
question is, when you get to Essex and Orleans County, these numbers aren't going to change.
For this map, you've got the UTG,
Well,
so
this map doesn't include
definitely.
all of this. This is bigger than
Well,
this.
that's correct.
yeah, what we have
Okay.
mapped in total through all of the counties are included in these numbers,
Okay.
even if they're not on here.
Yeah, so if
Yeah.
you flip the sheet over, which we could finish, but it shows it gives us some down rundown of the completion rates. So right now we have draft maps for every town except for Leamington, which Kat is currently working on, and UTG, which I am currently working on.
Actually finished one today,
Oh,
so.
I didn't know that.
All
So we have
right.
draft maps of every
Great.
town except the UTG,
What's UTG?
Unified Towns and Gores of Essex County.
Yes.
Ferdinand.
Places you've never heard of.
April.
Six County. What is UTG?
April, Wallace, Ferdinand,
The
Warren
Gores.
Gory.
Okay.
Combined, they have about 40 people.
Yeah.
Okay.
But they're very, very good people.
So is this just a section of the mapping, or does the entire map include Essex and Orleans?
The entire map includes Essex and Orleans, but I, due to the desire for people to be able to see things, you have to zoom out really far to include all three counties.
Yeah.
So I plan on having each map displayed separately.
Well, the other side of it is with the whole map, you can zoom in and look at a particular.
Well, if you have it digitally, but on paper, that's harder.
Can we do that digitally? Can we zoom in with what you gave us?
If you open it in Adobe Acrobat, you should be able to.
Oh,
Yeah,
yeah.
you should be able to zoom in a lot.
Okay. Can you generate it as a PDF?
That is what I printed. I think that's what
Yeah.
Jen sent out. Yes.
PDF, you can zoom up like 300, 400 times. And the contrast is really pretty good.
I guess the question, Liam, as well, is there additional resolution that's not visible at this level of zoom, so to speak?
Like another layer.
Yes.
Well, or
Just
roads and that sort of thing.
making this bigger,
Well,
larger.
if you zoom in, can you see that class three and
So class four roads are excluded from this map because some of them, calling them a road is a stretch if they're overgrown. But all class three roads are included on this map. It includes class two roads, class three roads, class one roads, state roads. I think it includes state forest roads in Groton.
could you send a PDF of this to the executive committee just to play with, just to look at?
I was under the impression Jen had done that.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, we
That's,
got this
yeah, that's the
afternoon.
same, that attachment I
Well,
sent
it was just California
the
accounts.
day.
I wouldn't
Yeah, we
be
just
able to
did.
put them because
Okay.
they're Google.
Yeah.
So if you just send
And
the
can
data
you send that to
PDF,
New Orleans?
okay.
Okay.
Anybody at Acrobat can.
Okay, I'll see
I
what.
don't have them right now, but I can send them like next week.
Yeah.
Bring
But up the top, there's a what size magnification you want. You can take it way down or way up.
Is there a GIS link to be able to look at this on a live map?
Not yet.
Okay.
We've got,
And will there
it
be?
looks like there is here, you know, so.
We are hoping to do that, but right now we are prioritizing the build out of the last couple towns and our outreach. So, as of right now, because our outreach with Maidstone is occurring as we speak, we have met with 42 out of 50 towns for at least one meeting. And then, again, this is on the back of this chart. We have 25 out of 50 towns have a finalized map where we've received all local feedback and addressed it. So sometimes the local feedback we can't incorporate because doing so would violate statute, but we always read it and respond to it.
What would violate statute?
Some of the asks of local communities.
An example why.
An example would be if a town wants the entire town to be included, or the entire eastern half of a town to be included as a transition area, but only about 2% of that area is served by public sewer. Well, transition areas require public water or sewer, so that's not possible.
So, quick question about the town of Linden, because I know there were con they had some concerns, right, about the mapping. Have we resolved those? Like, what's
Yeah.
the
Yep.
we
Good.
Oh, we had a couple additional meetings with them about their village center, and we worked it out and extended their village center. And I think they're done with giving feedback on it as of
Yep.
last week, maybe,
They're
or
one of
this
the
week.
25 towns that has
So.
a finalized map, and so they may end up applying for a downtown center for Lindenville, but if they do, that light pink would just become the dark purple. Sorry, the dark pink would become the dark purple, and it would be the same boundary for Lindenville's
Okay, so the
center.
pink is going to be the same boundary.
Just this one. This is the
Just
Linden
this one.
Center
Okay.
Village, but the
Yeah.
Lindenville Village Center could become a downtown center, but there's a number of steps they still have to go through for that.
Just this one here. Or would they be both?
No, just the Lindenville, just right
Perfect.
on the
Okay.
east side of the river.
Great. Thank you. Because I'm working on that project with them. So.
So I think that statute defines a formal process for objecting to the maps. Have you received any objections? Formal objections.
Not to my knowledge at this
Well,
point.
what are I've read this, well, I haven't read every statute in Vermont, but I've read the future land use mapping statute and I have not seen this. Which statute is this?
I think it's Act 181.
There is a process that if we take our maps to the Land Use Review Board and they reject it, we can appeal, which
Well,
is
no,
not.
there's also a I think there's also a process by which individuals can contest designations on the map at the regional planning commission level, and then again at the LURB.
Nobody's let us know that they want to do that
Okay.
today.
I think that there will be some.
Okay.
I will not be one of them,
Yeah.
but I
You
know
can tell us if
that
you.
yeah, I know that there are people who are upset
Yeah.
about the process and the designations.
So due to our number of towns, we are not meeting with individual landowners about the map, but we encourage landowners to communicate their concerns to the town, and then the town can send us a bundle of concerns, and that's more efficient than interacting with thousands of landowners.
I had a question about Walden, Liam. They had expressed a little bit of concern about the town center, and it looks like you call them hamlets now, and you've got the town center where I would put it. I think that must mean that you had a meeting with them or something.
So I did have a meeting with them in May, and at that time I had the village center in South Walden. And at that time, NBDA staff was under the impression that having a village center was optional. But the Vermont Association of Planning and Development Agencies subsequently released a memo saying that if a town has an area at least that meets the statutory definition of a village center, they're required to have at least one village center mapped. So I sent Walden several emails about this, offered to meet with them again. They stopped responding, but when I had their initial meeting with them, one of them had said that if they had to have a village center, they would like it here. So Allison Lowe and I decided that we are required to give it to them, and if they don't want to be involved in that process, then we can't force them to be.
Where did it end up?
So right now it is in Noyesville, which is by their school, and there's a church and a rec
That makes
field.
sense, yeah. Yeah.
So in their town plan, which I sought regional approval for, I reviewed for them last winter. They identify four villages. There's Noyesville, Walden Heights, South Walden, and North Walden. But North Walden, there's like a cemetery and one house.
Well, South Walden, East Walden, West Walden too.
Where's
There's
West Walden?
just an example. There's just not a lot in Walden. Well,
No.
beautiful place.
I drove every road there as part of the road erosion inventory. There's not a lot there except for trees and
And I was
animals.
curious where you put the village center because you either got the town office or the school.
An interesting statistic about Walden. Your average family income is double that of the state average.
Really?
So people can make a very good living remotely now.
Did we want Kat to read the rest of the chart? I
Sure,
Yeah.
the chart. Sure.
I think you had gotten down to enterprise area. Oh no, you got down to resource based
Yeah.
recreation area.
And then, so groundwater contamination, as Liam mentioned, there's only one on the map that's in Linden, and there are two others, one in Coventry and one in Lowell. And then for hamlets, there are 39 of them in 27 towns. And then for all the rural categories, there are thousands of them in every town. Too many to count.
And we didn't publish those numbers because those are changing more as we tweak the map and clean it up to merge contiguous farms into one polygon, for example.
Can we get a high-level overview of what the complaints might be? Like, what are the or the concerns, excuse
So
me. We love
on
software.
the back of the chart, there should be a list.
Oh,
We've
sorry.
tried to summarize the most common one. This doesn't include everyone, but these generally are all concerns we've heard from at least three towns.
Okay.
Does everyone online have that list of common concerns? Maybe you can go through a few of those, Kath.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, because I'm not seeing them. I'm just going through the, I just see the map.
Yeah, I can go over them. So one common concern, or maybe complaint, if you will, is a lot of towns see their conservation easements not within rural conservation. And with our methodology, they aren't. It's not a given that they're put in rural conservation. Another one is town.
Let me ask you,
Yeah.
what's the logic for that?
Liam, can you speak to that?
So I did not write the official methodology from BAPTA, but the logic that I've heard from the executive director of the Northwestern Regional Planning Commission is that the people who did write it, they view conservation easements as a long-term thing, but not a permanent thing, as they say that you can't take them up
there forever. They are permanent, absolutely. In perpetuity is that's a long-term deal.
Well, I think something that's important to remember is that even if they're not put in rural conservation, whatever is going on with that easement will still stand. So whatever restrictions are made by the conservation easement aren't impacted by which rural category they are within. So,
okay, so I think that the issue for me at least would be those conserved lands would be more apt to be managed to improve watershed resilience and might actually contribute to, you know, conservation strategies. And not knowing where they are on this map sort of sets us back a little bit. I mean, now there's it's an overlay. You could easily put it on there, right?
Yes, and we have done that for the towns of Peacham and Hardwick as they've requested it. But ultimately, the Land Use Review Board is expecting that we use the methodology developed by BAPTA, and if we deviate that, it's expected they would not approve our map, in which case there would be pretty dire consequences for economic development, as all of these designations would go poof and all of the town plans would be invalid.
So you're stuck with rules.
So, yes, we are stuck with the BAPTA methodology.
So in my town, we're not concerned at all about what the LURB may designate as tier one A or B, because we're not going to have any of that. But there's a tremendous amount of concern about areas that are have been designated rural conservation, because it is thought that those will be the basis of what the LURB will designate as tier three. And it is expected that development rules on tier three lands are going to be more restrictive than Act 250 is currently. And that is why you may expect to receive some formal objections to the designations at Newark.
Can Kat read one of the bullet points which it covers this?
Yeah, so the second one is towns want to know what land in their town will be tier three. NVDA is not involved in that decision. So that comes down to the Land Use Review Board. We don't play any role in that, and it's being developed by the LURB as we're developing this, so they're completely separate.
But these maps are going to be submitted to the LURB.
Yes.
And what are they? Why?
They have to approve all the regional commission maps, future land use maps, and plans.
But they're going to use those maps to identify, along with the applications of towns, what tier one A and B are, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
And they're going to use these maps to determine what tier two areas are.
Yeah, but for tier three, I don't think it's a fair conclusion to say they're going to use this to determine tier three, because they have a long list of what is considered to be determined that.
And they're still working on the tier three rulemaking, and they're having several public input sessions. And I think, I don't remember exactly, it's like August 26th, 27th, or not August, October 26th, 27th, or 28th. They're having one in Newport, and there will be a remote option as well. I don't have
definitely worth the time.
But if the LURB is using your input, your future land use maps to determine areas that are eligible for tiers 1A and B, and they're using it to designate tier 2 areas, it's not unreasonable for people to conclude that you're also providing input for future tier 3 designations.
I don't think that's accurate, because they won't even have our map before they released the draft tier three map that we're going to hear about in October.
So would it be worthwhile for NVDA to send out correspondence to the towns clarifying the clear tier three and telling them about those meetings?
Yeah.
So we have We will be including the meeting in our October newsletter. Lorna has made sure of this. And the question of rural conservation does not equal tier three is something we've echoed in our webinar and every single meeting with every single town, and in many emails. So ultimately, it is counterintuitive, and we can't make it so that everybody understands, but we're trying our best.
But since the LURB's process for identifying tier three lands has not been publicized, it's not unreasonable for people to think that your designations are going to be important input for them.
I think that's true, and I think there is very liable to be an adverse reaction.
Yeah, well, that
I
already
think,
is.
well, yeah, but what I'm saying is,
I'm having one now.
the more communication about this
Right.
NVDA can invest in, probably the better.
I agree, and I don't disagree that people are misunderstanding and thinking these may be used for tier three mapping. But tier three, we were supposed to have our hearing for the tier three mapping in August. It got delayed, and now they moved it to October. So I think they've done some refinement in what they've actually mapped as tier three.
Do they expect to have the rulemaking all done in October for our designations?
No, I don't think
Think
so.
no, I think
No.
that starts the period for feedback,
Okay.
Yeah.
I believe.
But they are accepting comments from anyone, and NVDA has submitted a comment saying that one of their things had been saying that all highest priority forest blocks and all highest priority connectivity blocks would be tier three, and we submitted a comment saying that we oppose that as it would impose an undue burden on the Northeast Kingdom. And I think other regional planning commissions have submitted similar comments. So it's now looking like they have scaled back from that and they will only include some of those habitat blocks in the tier three.
Next. We're good. Okay, so the
Yeah.
next one is pretty tied into what we've been talking about. That the thought that being within rural conservation will restrict landowners' rights, which is not necessarily true. If you end up being in tier three, that's a possibility. And if there are other regulations already in place, such as you're in a class one wetland or you're above 2,500 feet in elevation, like those rules still come into play and would have an effect on what you can do on your land, but otherwise, there isn't.
Well, there also are some new rules that will be coming into play in some of the rural conservation areas. In 2027, it's expected that the state will regulate river corridors, which are these narrow green strips along streams that the Department of Environmental Conservation considers the area in which a river is likely to move or wiggle. And it's expected that the state rulemaking, they haven't finalized it yet, but what regional planning commissions have been told is that it will prohibit any development closer to the river than what currently exists.
The next one is about open fields, which are generally put into rural general. Because from what we can tell when we're mapping, if it's just an open field, but if planning commissions let us know that that's actively being farmed or hayed, we're happy to put it into rural ag and forestry.
I will also add that a lot of towns have not put a lot of effort into this, but some towns, such as Reigate and Craftsbury, put a lot of effort into identifying as many farms as possible in their town because that is important to them.
I don't think something that's been not been a real big dialogue with the planning commission in something yet. I don't
I mean,
think.
I've had four phone calls with them. I met with them in person and they've attended our webinars. We don't have, I don't know what else I have time for when I'm meeting with 42 other towns.
I understand. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
But I would say to some towns, it's not worth the effort of making it go from rural general to rural ag and forestry because there's no implication. Whether it's rural general, rural ag and forestry, or rural conservation on this map, there's no consequence to anything other than just what color it is.
Okay, let's break that up.
Nice colors.
There's no implication to Act 250 under ag soils, or that's actually looked at in a, the two don't actually overlap.
I think that's going to be site specific based on wherever the development project is. They always look at primary soils.
Yeah, that's independent of
Yeah.
this effort.
Independent of
Yeah.
this effort.
Yeah.
The next one is our transition area. A lot of towns have had a hard time with the name of that category, and that the name may imply development and that things are going to be built there, but that's not the case. It's really highlighting areas in town that have public water or sewer, but they are lacking features that put them into, say, a village center or something like that. So it's maybe not named the best, but it
Can you
doesn't.
Give us an example? Where would we...
I was gonna just so an example would be see. Well, I mean, all of these orange areas. So the yellow is rural general, the orange are transition areas, but trying to think of what that's like. So in Linden, well, no, that was actually the village area. But in some towns, people think that the transition area is the start of sort of 1960s era urban renewal, where the states would come in and knock down a bunch of buildings and build something that's inconsistent with the character of the neighborhood. And that is not what the goal of transition areas are. They're meant to be a catch-all for, as Kat said, areas that have water or sewer, and they're zoned for medium to high density if a town has zoning. If a town doesn't, then that's not part of the equation. And they're not in the floodplain. They're not super steep of the above 20% slope, so they could be suitable for additional housing if the additional planning or infrastructure is put into place.
So something like Vail Hill, what you're depicting there, it's got single family houses and fairly large lots. Are you saying that you wind up with a smaller lot size and more houses?
Are you talking about right here? So that is a village area, and village areas do receive a set of benefits from the state as state recognized neighborhoods. And this includes priority infrastructure funding, ability to lower speed limits on town roads below 25 miles an hour, village center tax credits. We have a whole list in our designations explainer. But another thing with this map is, as have been required for decades, town plans are required to have a local future land use map. And as has also been required for decades, that map has to be consistent with this map. And a lot of towns use their zoning map if they have zoning.
Yep. And it's
Oh,
okay, right?
it is okay, although NVDA encourages them to put a little more effort into their local land use map if they're so interested. But the map has to be consistent with this.
What does
So
that mean?
I'm getting there.
Okay.
If an area is shown, I had this conversation with the town of Concord, and actually, I don't have their map on my computer currently, so that it's not the whole map there, but this is the village center. So the town of Concord was asking me, what's the implication of the village center on our zoning? And they currently have a village zoning district, and the village center is entirely encompassed in that zoning district.
So that's
So, but if they wanted to down zone that area to be a minimum lot size of 5 acres, that would be inconsistent with this map, and that would be
so what you're saying
grounds for their town plan probably would not be eligible for regional approval if they were to do that. But they had no interest in doing that because it's their village, and then
right,
they have their zoning the way it is for a reason.
makes sense.
So is this map, are all of the town plans as they currently stand consistent with this map here?
Well, this map has not been adopted. So, for instance, we've recently done town plan approval for Groton and Craftsbury, but this map is not adopted. So, it has no standing, so it's not
Well, that
enforced.
wasn't the question. Is this map, are all of the town plans that of the towns shown on this map, are they consistent with this map, regardless of what?
If this map were to be adopted as is.
I don't know that off the top of my head. What I will tell you is that of the towns in Caledonia County, Stannard currently has an expired plan, and Kirby has not sought regional approval for 20 or 30 years. But every other town currently has a plan that has regional approval because it's in compliance with the regional plan, and the future land use map is just one element of that regional plan.
I re remember asking you this question before, and I think you said yes. But when you were looking at lo when you were working town by town, you looked at the local zoning to see what they were using for di districts, correct?
Correct. So when we, if a town has zoning or if a town has a town plan, which almost all the towns have a town plan. There's four towns in Essex County that do not. But we do look at the land use section of the local plan and the zoning districts to help guide this. And if an area has access to public water, like a portion of South Wheelock Road, but it's zoned as rural residential, then it's not going to be a transition area because it's not zoned for that sort of density.
So you've created this map after most of these towns have adopted their town plan. Have you constructed this map to ensure that all of the town plans that you know about are consistent with this map?
I don't think that's part of the effort. I think
Well,
this
yeah, but
is,
we
yeah.
if a town
Well,
plan has to be consistent with this, then I'd like to know if we're starting off where
well,
everybody's consistent.
yeah, I think what when we map each town, we review their town plan so that the map is consistent with what they are planning for. Like we take it into consideration where they want their future development to happen. So if I'm understanding your question correctly, I would say yes, that this is on level with the town plans, and then moving forward, the town plans need to stay consistent with this map.
Okay, because it would make everybody sad if in 2 years somebody came along and said, your town plan, which you adopted in 2024, is not consistent with the NVDA's future land use map. Isn't that a shame?
This
Well,
only applies to future regional approval. It does not apply to past regional approval. And I would point out to Kat that there are the instance I can think of that's inconsistent is that in their town plan, the town of Walden says they do not want a village center designation, but we're required to map one for them. So that is inconsistent.
So having reviewed the land use section of the plan and then looking at local zoning, I think their maps probably aren't too far off from what we've actually got mapped on the ground.
A lot of towns are very happy with the map. They say it's fits with their vision for the town. And some towns are not happy, but I would say of the 42 towns we've met with, at least 30 of them are quite happy with the map.
We're currently going through this with him in Brighton, and I won't say that our zoning is completely up to snuff with this yet, but it will get there. I mean, I think it's we're okay with the changes that are being proposed with the map.
Well, Brighton has also asked that for their town plan, they get a map that would show their town on this map or the Essex County map as if they had subdivision bylaws, which they do not, because they are curious which areas in their town would be eligible for neighborhood benefits if they were to adopt subdivision bylaws, which my understanding is they're considering.
Yes, we are.
So I'll move on to the next bullet point. With a lot of our smaller towns, they've expressed the want for very large village centers, and we just can't do that in a lot of the cases. We've decided to be consistent that we don't want the village centers to be larger than 3/4 of a mile in length. And this is to really keep things clustered and preventing sprawl.
So for instance, the town of Wheelock, and I don't think they actually expected this because they're familiar with the program, but they were like, why can't we have the whole town be a village center? Because to them, the village centers program is all carrot, no stick. Actually, that was Danville's words. Or there's no downsides to being in the village centers program to the town of Wheelock. But I informed them that that's not possible. The village center is meant to enforce the state planning goals of compact settlements surrounded by rural open countryside.
Okay. Makes sense.
You can ever make exceptions to that 0.75 because I can envision, I'm thinking about the town of Concord, and we ended up going even further a couple of years ago to include the store. There's always going to be those ones that it would make sense to go a little bit longer, farther than 3/4 of a mile.
I think he's still way under 4 3/4 of a mile.
He's conquered his way under that.
But I'm
threshold.
thinking of, you know, it just sometimes when we put these hard and fast, and then you run into a situation that it makes logical sense to have an exception. Is there room for exception? I guess
Yeah.
is my
I would
question.
say it depends how much. If it's 0.9 miles, then sure. But if it's 2 miles, then we're inclined to say no, especially if the area is mostly residential and they.
But if it made logical sense,
Well, they would consider it, I'm
you
sure.
would consider.
Yes, we would consider it, but logical sense in the eyes of NVDA may differ from logical sense in the minds of a town.
Well, you got Gilman here is a good example of
That's a lower Waterford.
Lower Waterford.
Gilman is way over here in
Oh,
that
okay.
other
All right. I'm sorry. Yeah, but I mean, it's got a village center that's well, looked like it was
That's
made
lower
by
Waterford.
Gerrymandered.
So the map that's a house, the Rabbit Hill, the church, and the town office.
So that was the former village center of Lower Waterford. The current village center is much larger and it encompasses a large portion of their village zoning district, but excludes areas that have soils that the state deems not suitable for septic system. It includes areas with slopes of over 20%. It excludes river corridors, highest priority forest blocks, and floodplains. So it does result in a weird shape, but the town of Waterford Planning Commission was okay with that. They were not okay with including portions of the Passumpsic Village that extend into Waterford that are in the floodplain. So I moved those to rural conservation. Although because they have strong flood regs, they could be included in village center of Passumpsic, but if they don't want that, then I moved it.
Those dirks in Waterford are terrible.
You went there?
Yeah, I am.
Finished.
I
I don't know what I'm in
I
it
didn't
here,
say
but
they were jerks. Other towns,
I live in Waterford.
I
I
know.
can.
I think it looks like you've done a tremendous amount of work.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah, especially on the mapping end, because we have by far the largest region. So some of our counterparts have 10 or 11 towns. We've got 50. So,
And you have to meet with them and walk them through, make sure they're okay.
we had a deadline.
So, Catherine, this last or next to last bullet point is of particular interest to us because obviously they're redoing the FEMA maps for Calendar Brook, and that's going to make a huge change as far as the town select board's expectations. Being of a libertarian bent, they are going to want to continue to do what they've always done on their property, wherever it is. So I guess my question in that regard is are we clear that we're going to update this map to use the new FEMA maps when they're available?
Not for this regional plan. I would say that for our 2034 regional plan, we probably will, but we are currently not authorized to use those maps for any planning purposes. We are not authorized to show them to the public, so we are not allowed to use those by FEMA. And we,
Okay, that might be
I would
a
also
good thing.
add
Secret maps.
Yeah, they are.
yes, the city of Newport is struggling to adopt stronger flood regs that would require entitle them to Tier 1A because the people voicing their opinions about the flood regs cannot see the flood maps that they would apply to.
Yeah, we don't want you to know that you're in a flood.
Well, no, the city does, but their hands are tied by FEMA. I would also add that when these new maps are released, FEMA will be reviewing a town's flood regs, and if they're found to be too weak or not enforced, the town could be thrown out of the NFIP. So NVDA is trying to work with towns to alert them of this, but some towns would rather be thrown out of the NFIP than enforce their flood regs. So, I mean,
Well,
that's their decision.
there may not be a FEMA that much longer.
That's true.
You're correct.
This is also true, but I can't, I don't
Well, the minute they're gone, release the layer.
know.
Yeah, there won't be anybody left to keep it
Yeah.
secret.
Can we have a leak?
Yeah. Well, excellent presentation, guys. You've done a lot of work, and it's
Thank
truly
you.
amazing.
Thank you. Now, Mr. President, I have a letter here from a Newark townsperson whose house falls in one of the rural conservation areas. And I was asked to read this. I won't because it basically is a reiteration of some of these points, but it does go into more detail. Can I have this appended to the minutes of this meeting?
Sure. You can't unless you read it. Oh, or distribute it. Or distribute
All right, I'll distribute it. And
it. Please don't.
no, I don't.
It's not that long. Can you summarize it?
Well, basically what it says is that there is a strong suspicion that the LURB will use the rural conservation areas as the basis for their Tier 3 designation, and that Tier 3 designation will be accompanied by more restrictive development regulations, more restrictive than Act 250, and that people will have an get be subject to an unpleasant surprise when their lands are designated Tier 3 out from under them, and their property rights
Abridged.
are abridged. Yeah, exactly. A bridge too far. So I will also add that part of our plan is that when we submit our regional plan to the Land Use Review Board, we will include comments such as those to give the LURB a sort of representation of the comments that we've received. So even if we can't change our map to match those comments, we want to include them to the LURB, especially because the chair of the LURB has requested that we include them so they can sort of get the sense of what how each region has reacted to these changes. Yeah, and I would point out that the rural conservation areas do have homes in them.
Yes, they
Mark,
do.
have you sent that letter to the LURB?
I will.
Yeah, that'd be a good idea.
Well, I actually, can I ask the NVDA to send it? If I distribute that to this the executive committee, can we then append it to the minutes of the meeting?
If we distribute the letter, we can append it.
I think so, yeah. All
right.
Our plan again is to submit it when we submit our regional plan, which we anticipate doing around June of 2026.
Well, it'd be much more useful for the LURB to have it,
All right, I will
you
send it to the LURB. I will send it
know.
to the executive committee.
If it's a tier three comment, I would
I'm going to see if
encourage.
I can make
And then I
comments.
can tell my friend that, my neighbor, that I have done what she
If it's
asked.
a tier three comment, I would encourage you to email their email address that they have set up for the explicit purpose of receiving tier three comment, and
Yeah.
I can provide that to you if you'd like.
Yeah, maybe.
That was in the last monthly summary,
Oh,
wasn't
was it?
it?
Okay. Well, shame on me.
Yeah,
Sorry.
well, that's all
Yeah.
right. I think the thing is that there's a lot of concern, especially in the political climate we currently have, but you know. Next thing will happen is the black helicopters land, you know? So, you know, even though that's ridiculous, people are going to assume something absent having some good, clear information. And, you know, I hate to say this, and please note that it's off the record, but our town Sutton Select Board doesn't read much.
Well, I received a phone call today saying, and I
Saying it
was
doesn't read much.
no. I did not expect this phone call to ever be received. But the most Act 181 engaged of the Sutton member of the Sutton Planning Board said that the
Interesting.
select board is so unhappy with the village area designation that they might get rid of their subdivision regulations and then they can't have them.
Well, you know, I think what we're at risk of doing here is throwing a baby out with the bathwater as you know, just a resident of the town of Sutton. I think it's crazy what they're thinking of doing, and it's because they don't know what the hell is going on.
Well, I also made sure to explain to this man who called me that, because he said the select board would also worry about Tier 1B. And while Sutton is eligible for Tier 1B because they meet the requirements, Tier 1B is opt-in. So no town is going to have Tier 1B unless they adopt a resolution saying they want Tier 1B. And that's counterintuitive. We've had a number of towns who are like, oh, are you shoving Tier 1B down our throats? And critics of this map may say we are shoving the map down their throats, but we are not shoving Tier 1B down anyone's throats. It's an opt-in process only, as is Tier 1A.
Well, all I can tell you is the more communication you can engage in here, the better. And not just with the Planning Commission. I'm talking with the Select Board members. You know, they're meeting tonight, as I am here, or else I'd be there. And
They don't read much. They don't read much, guys.
Well,
I know it's on them.
It's required. Would NVDA do a response to them or no? Because they are asking specific questions.
We can probably respond as best we can.
Okay, so
generally we by default do a presentation to the select board initially if they don't have a planning commission, and otherwise we do a select presentation to the select board if they request it or if they are eligible for a tier one designation. So we did a presentation to the Newport City Council about tier 1A and tier 1B. Next week, Kyle and I are doing one for the Hardwick Select Board. We'd be welcome to do one to the Sutton Select Board about Tier 1B or the FUMAP if they so choose, but I have not heard that they are interested in this.
Okay. We'll take care of that. But that's a great idea, because you know if you don't have time to do it, you're going to have time to do it over.
So I read it briefly. I think we discussed just about everything in here. So I think so. So for the minutes, Mark presented a letter. It was circulated to the executive committee. Mark asked NVDA to submit it to the where?
The LIRB.
LIRB. And NVDA is going to make an effort to respond to the person who wrote it.
I just ask whether the people attending virtually have any comments about Act 181 or the map? No? Okay.
No. That's one of those questions. I don't have anything planned for the rest of the evening.
Okay. I mean, we implanted in Craftsbury. He worked really closely with Liam, and we actually, took us some time to figure out like what a hamlet was, where a hamlet was going. We took out some infill. It was a good process for us to do. It just happened that we were, we are in the process of writing our town plan. So we were fortunate to be directly involved with it.
Craftsbury was the first town that we met with.
So you like them best.
I did not say that.
No, we like Brighton best because we're easier to work with than everybody else.
Well, thank you, Kat. Thank you, Liam. A tremendous amount of work.
It continues. Yeah.
Director's update.
Everybody should have a printed copy. I sent it to everybody online electronically later in the day. Just quick updates. Brownfields program got another $1.2 million in assessment funding. So that's really good. We wrapped up our 2023 grant, which was also $1 million. Probably one of the most popular programs as far as economic development goes. Regional plan and mapping. I think we just have enough of a discussion on Act 181 and the map. And also the regional plan. I think staff have been doing outreach for public input for the regional plan through attending some local events.
Barton, Canaan, Newport, St. J., Hardwick. We're about to do J.
What are these for?
The regional plan, the survey input.
The outreach.
Oh, yes. So the generally public events. So Kat and I did the Hardwick's Farmers Market and the last final Friday in St. J, and other NVDA staff have done the Moose Festival in Canaan, the final Wednesday on the waterfront in Newport, and the Burgers and Brews in Barton. And then what's the event in J?
Oktoberfest.
And it's online.
Yep. It's a different way to get out and get input.
We also have a survey, yes. So at the in-person outreach events, we have postcards with a URL and QR code to the survey. And we've gotten how many responses in the survey?
Over 50 now. So pretty
good. Okay. Next, we continue our work with the Municipal Energy Resiliency Program. So basically, that's been Carter Finnegan. Everybody got energy audits or assessments, and then we got 39 towns got implementation grant funds. So Carter's making sure they get hooked up with contractors, and there's a Section 106 historic preservation component to it, which he's able to keep everybody moving along So it's been good. I was actually surprised that they have enough contractors to do the work. Industrial park activity, Vermont Renewable Gas has a purchase option still for a piece of land in our park. They were doing a $2.2 million renewable generation project, biomass. I learned yesterday that the PUC didn't disallow their participation in the standard offer program. I think a lot of it was due to the price was a little bit high. But they're going to reapply. So they've reached out to Lindenville Electric and they're going to pursue a Rural 4.100 opportunity, which it would be a lower price power and a little bit of less of a financial win for the company, but they still want to do the project. So that's good. Transportation field work for the summer kind of wrapped up in August. Liam's working with Newport Derby on a bicycle and pedestrian study.
Yes, so it's a feasibility study to improve connections between the BB Spur Rail Trail in mostly in Derby and downtown Newport. And the report is expected to be released by the end of the month.
Yep, another one is a brownfield redevelopment opportunity, which I'll give you more details on shortly. And then the last piece would be we've been having discussions with the Northeast Kingdom Collaborative and the Northeast Kingdom Chamber of Commerce about regional alignment as far as our economic development work. So we've talked multiple times now about who's sharing our work on regional marketing, workforce development, and topics of regional importance, such as housing or population growth. And there are some things that I think the NDK Collaborative is suited to do better than NBDA would, especially if it's public engagement for community at a community level. And then the NEK Chamber, they're working a lot in the work areas of workforce development, especially with manufacturers. So we're just going to piggyback on their work, and we all share the credit.
Yeah, the chamber just got a $150,000 grant to be able to do marketing and welcoming new people into the community and really outreach to trying to get people to move here too. So that's a nice.
The last piece back on the brownfield redevelopment opportunity. So we've been working on this, what's called a Tree Tupper site in St. Johnsbury for our 2018 assessment grant, our 2023 assessment grant, and now our current grant. So the way it was proposed was St. Johnsbury actually went out and got a multi-purpose grant from the EPA, $1 million, and they were going to buy this Tree Tupper site and get it cleaned up, and then it would be turned over to a developer. Recent events in the town, St. Johnsbury decided to move forward with the purchase of the RK Miles site down on
Yeah,
Bay
right.
Street, not popular with a lot of the people in the community. So it's been decided there's probably no chance that the voters would want them to jump into this particular site. We've helped this property. We helped the town get their neighborhood designation for that area of town, the Somerville neighborhood. And this 8-acre property is right in the center of it. We've spent probably close to $300,000 in assessment money just on the site because of all the size and the issues there. And the town is asking us if we would consider jumping into an ownership role. We wouldn't have any access to cleanup money. We would have to take ownership, apply for a cleanup grant, and the maximum grant right now is $4 million. The estimates are coming in right at $3.3 million. That's the current estimates that we have for the cleaning up the site.
What are those based on?
The consultant had a number of issues there. There's some lead and asbestos. They have some burned soils on site. They have stuff under the slabs of the buildings that have to be removed. There was some petroleum in some parts of the property, but the cleanup estimate's like 3.3 million, and that's not even certain.
Where is property again? Yeah.
545 Concord Avenue, over
Corner of
Portland and Concord, and then
yeah, there's the
over it heads down to the river.
the realtors there now has an East End Market sign. It's
Yeah,
behind
it's behind that building. Got it.
and I've been here a while and there's been so many different things stored there.
Yeah, so we've been, if you don't remember, we've been an interim owner of a brownfield property before up in Lennonville, and the developer behind us was a solar developer. And we were fortunate that we took interim ownership. We had a management agreement with the developer. They covered all of our costs. And then luckily nothing was found at the site. So we, after the assessment work was done, we just turned the property over to the developer, and the solar development came in. This one will be a little bit scarier, because of the unknowns. There's no certainty we would get a grant even if we took ownership of the property. That means we own a large brownfield site. And yeah.
With the deal of less for
Yeah.
4 or 5 years. Could
I know.
the deal be done with a lower price from the owner or NVDA takes ownership? If can't get the grant, it goes back to the same price.
We would like to, the town was willing to kick in some money to help us with the purchase. We would still be, have to pay some of that cost.
What's the owner going to do with a piece of contaminated property?
Well, they were
For us to help.
hoping to turn it over for a housing development. We're doing mass timber construction.
But if they owned it, could we apply on their behalf?
No, you, to get that EPA cleanup grant, you actually have to be the owner of the site. And the success.
Get it for
No,
them.
because they're contributing to the problem, I guess.
And what's the property worth?
It's, I think the asking price is 325 right now.
So
Three
contaminated property, pretty good price.
I'm just gonna say.
Maybe I'll contaminate mine.
Yeah. But we haven't had, because this arrangement's new, where it's going to be NVDA potentially stepping in instead of the town, we haven't had any conversations with the developer to see if they're okay with that, or the current owner, to see if they would take it back if we couldn't get a grant.
Well, what other options? I mean, this isn't,
Well,
we'll just wait for
they
somebody to buy this piece of contaminated
yeah,
property for
so
what we want. That's not going to happen.
right.
Yeah.
But it there is risk, and I don't really want to
So,
risk NVDA.
the risk is higher than the 325.
Yeah.
Is the owner, he's proposed building on this site before.
No, the owner's her father died. It's Angela Rossi, and her father passed away. And they live in Colorado. They don't want anything to do with this property.
Well, they're going to be stuck with it
Yeah.
for a long
Well,
time.
yeah.
and that's the other side of it. If we bought it for a dollar and tried to get it remediated and sold it back for a dollar, if we couldn't, no harm, no foul.
Yeah.
Anyway,
Yeah. We haven't had that
I
discussion
don't
with the
think
owner.
you should get involved in it, but
Okay. There is a lot of risk. I think
yeah, but there's a lot of
we'll
fun.
move the
Okay. Okay. Stable.
Seconded.
Yeah.
This is one of those projects looks a lot better to a guy that's not involved.
Yeah.
Can I just add something about the flea map that I forgot to mention that you brought up? So the he mentioned that that property is in a neighborhood designation area, and so the neighborhoods, the light and medium pinks, are the state's sort of successor to the neighborhood designation area, as that being subsumed into these areas. That just was a quick note.
Okay. Thank you, Dave. We have no public input. There's no public here. Any other business?
I'd like to, first of all, thank Liam for preparing a very nice map of the Calendar Brook watershed.
Yeah.
And I think it was Liam that did
That
it,
was me.
actually.
Okay. All
Not
right.
Dan.
Sorry.
I'm sure you would have. But it
Yeah,
enabled me to give
interesting
a
thing would not be here.
presentation. As it turned out, the synapse up here at the distillery. I got a lot of questions about, what we're going to do about our watershed management and maintaining resiliency in the face of climate change. And I was encouraged to further develop the presentation. And actually, the chair of our select board said he'd be very interested in hearing what might be the options to get better resiliency in those watersheds that were hammered by those 3 subsequent years of floods. So I think it's a great opportunity, and I've got some ideas, some of the policy things that I'd like to suggest, but I really would like to have somebody from the NVDA staff help me to consider what might be proposed. And
I was at a flood resilience series in Hardwick yesterday, and they had people from the Vermont Rivers Conservancy, and one of their comments that struck me the most is that they think that Vermont needs more watershed groups. So is there currently one in Pounder Brook or the Sunset Basin? I don't think so.
No, there's not. And that's I think it's a great opportunity, but you know, if you look at those two little watersheds, the sub-watersheds of Calendar Brook that just got thrashed, they have the greatest amount of intensively managed agricultural land, and they're just side by side right there between Sutton Village and West Burke. Mm-hmm. And what we've got is essentially denudation of those sub-watersheds, and now that they're managing that forage very intensively and cutting it four or five times, you know, it looks like a lawn, you know, hundreds of acres in those two watersheds. And so you get a huge precipitation event like we had, 5 inches of rain. Where's it going to go? Just downstream. And it's going to rip hell out of the brook. That's exactly what it did. So, I mean, the idea of retaining precipitation on the landscape, of trying to divert it into wetlands or to put in retention structures of some kind, those are things that potentially might be actually useful there. I know the whole idea of the PL 566 dry dam sort of went out of favor a long time ago, but in some of these extremely flood-prone areas, it might be actually a pretty good alternative. I just,
when is the event that you wanted someone from NVDA?
Sometime in the next couple of months. There's no hurry.
I could probably talk to Allison about getting one of us to go.
Just give me a call. Before July 10th. Send me an email. Sir?
Before July 10th.
Hopefully.
The anniversary date.
Good. Yeah, that'd be great if you could check on that. I really appreciate it.
Good. Any other business?
Quick question. Is the USDA technical assistance grants, have we heard if there's another round of those?
We normally would hear by July, but now we're into the end of September and we still haven't heard a word whether we get our application was successful or not. So.
Anything else? Yeah. Motion to adjourn. Sure.
So move.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, Mark.
Okay. We do have an interesting time. So.
It's a four-part speaker series about
all. Anybody online? I think we adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you for attending.
Thanks.
Productive meeting.